Okay, good morning everybody. Welcome back to our Shemir Salashim class learning. Motzei Chag, Isru Chag. So I remember when I said we don't have class for a month, it seemed like, whoa, a month, and here we are again. And I hope everyone enjoyed a meaningful Yom Tov and a spiritually uplifting and healthy Yom Tov. Our learning today is dedicated to Lilui Nishmas on the Zeich Nishmatzot Tzvi Gershon Alav Hashem Ben Yoel V'Chana. May the Neshama have a continuous Aliyah in the merit of this Torah learning. May he also shap nachas alisa from his place in the Yeshiva Shal Ames, from all the simcha baruch Hashem and nachas and growth in your family, kein yirbu, in good health, with only simcha to enjoy. With your permission is also zchus refuah for bracha v'gaya, bas rachel gita besoch sha'ar chodei Yisrael. So I will begin with the tefillah al hadibur, v'bonu sha'olam hiratzim v'fanecha v'acham v'chanan sh'tizikeni ha'im v'cholim l'shmar pri l'shoni milashen har v'chilas. Azarim l'deber fila al ish yachid, v'kol sh'kena kla yiso o achelek mehim, v'kol sh'kena v'yisrayim al midosav sh'al kol sh'baruch hu. Azarim l'deber divrei sheker chanufa mechilkes kas gaiva. O nas varam habanas panim leitzanis v'chol dibur asur, v'zakini sh'lo l'deber, kim dabar hatzarich l'inyani gufi v'nafshi, v'yu kol ma'asai v'diburai l'shem shamayim, amin v'amin. So, we are still going through the Gemara in Arachin, but almost finished, by the way, the Inyanim in the Gemara in Arachin that deal with the sugya related to Shemir Salashon, Lashon Hara, Rechilis, etc. But when I sat down to prepare, you know, it's always very exciting to Baruch Hashem. We finished with Zosa Bracha, Moshe Rabbeinu is Niftar, not in Eretz Yisrael, and he's not buried in Eretz Yisrael, rather in Eber LeYarden. However, as soon as we finish Zosa Bracha, Chazak, Chazak, Vunis Chazek, we begin Bereshis all over again. And sometimes, most years, the way the calendar falls out, I do not have Shirim the week of Parshas Bereshis, because if Yom Tov ends Wednesday or Thursday, and that Shabbos is Bereshis, we don't have Shirim. So this week it's a true Shechianu, because I get to have Shirim starting from Monday morning Bereshis. So when I was considering what to teach this morning, as we resume our Shemir Salashim class learning after a month off, I hope you missed the learning. I know I did. It's a really fundamental. So I structured I prepared a different shiur related to Parshas Bereishis. So I'm going to screen share my notes with you. Okay. Oh, let's just hope you could see. It's having trouble Thursday night for some of you who are on the YU shiur. Yikes. Can you see my screen, Alyssa? Okay. So this is Bereishis 5781, Korach HaDibur. Okay. So this is Medrash Vayikarabba. The Medrash begins by quoting a pasuk from Tehillim 35, Lamed Hei. Kol atzmosai tomarna, all my bones shall declare Hashem, mi kamocha, who is like God. All my bones shall declare who is like God. So the Medrash says, is the font big enough or should I make it bigger? Can you see? Oh yeah, I tried to make it big. Alyssa's saying make it a little bigger. Is this better? Yeah, okay, good. Thank you for telling me. It's important to give me the feedback. So the pasuk says in Tehillim, which we just quoted, all my bones shall declare, kol atzmosai tomarna, my bones shall declare. Oh, there's a post. Hashem mi kamoch, one second. Okay. The verse is referring to the mitzvah of lulav. So I know it's after Yontif. Don't panic. Okay, but I want to share with you an insight related to Korach HaDibur that I never saw before, that I read this year in Sefer HaToda'ah, Book of Our Heritage, by Eliyahu Ki Tov, over Yom Tov. And given that this is my first year, right, after Yontif, it's extremely relevant. So the verse is referring to the mitzvah of lulav, taking the arba minim. Okay, so the address says, Kol atzmosai tomarni, Hashem mi kamocha, all my bones, my whole self shall declare Hashem who is like you. This is actually referring to the mitzvah of arba minim. So we know that the spine of the lulav, I'm sure you've heard, I know you know, that the arba minim correspond to four kinds of Jews. The arba minim also correspond to four different body parts. So the Midrash says the spine of the lulav is like the man's spine, right? It's supposed to be your spine, Be'ezros Hashem, with God's help, is a straight spine, and it sometimes bends when you need to bend over. The spine of the lulav is like man's spine. The hadasim is like the eyes. The shape of the hadasim are like the eyes. The arava is like the mouth, and the esrog is like the heart. And when you think of the shapes of each of these minim, they correspond very much to those body parts. They also correspond to four types of Jews, where the esrog represents the Jew with taste and smell, ma'isim tovim and Torah. The arava represents the Jew, no taste, no smell, no ma'isim tovim, No Torah, and you know, put them all together. King David says, there are no more important parts of the body than these, the spine, lulav, the heart, esrog, the eyes, hadasim, the lips, arava, and they are equivalent to the entire body. So kol atzmosai tomarne, when my whole body says, God, there is no one like you, that refers to the taking of the arba minim, representing our whole body involved in the mitzvah. Thus, when one takes the arba minim, what he's really saying is, all my bones shall declare, there is no one like God. So I was reading through the Sefer HaTodah Elio Kitov over Yom Tov, and I came across an insight that I never considered before, which is exactly perfectly related and relevant to our class in Shmiras HaLashon. Okay, on Hoshana Rabbah, which was this past Erev Shabbos, everything that takes a place on Hoshana Rabbah alludes to prayer. So Hoshana Rabbah is the day of the final absolute judgment. We have many tefilos on Hoshana Rabbah. Whatever was stamped and written and sealed on Yom Kippurim has the potential to ultimately be changed until this final day of Hoshana Rabbah. All that takes place on Hoshana Rabbah, writes Kitov, alludes to prayer. The many hakafos, the encircling of the bima, the taking of the aravos, which we know ultimately we bang on the floor, the exalted guest of this day, the final one of the ushpizin, is the seventh and last of the ushpizin, is King David, David Melech Yisrael, who says, call it's most like Tomarna, comes to our sukkah, we welcome him, he is the final of the ushpiz on Hoshana Rabbah. On each of the festival days, the bima is encircled once. On Hoshana Rabbah, it is encircled seven times. We recite piyutim, Hoshana, we bang the Hoshanas on the ground. There are so many extra tefillos. But listen to this paragraph. The arava that we take a bundle of five aravas on Hoshana Rabbah, and after we say all the tefillos, we bang them on the floor. The arava taken on Hoshana Rabbah, once the esrog and the luv and the hadasim are put aside, alludes to prayer. As mentioned above, the arava is symbolic of man's lips and mouth, and therefore the taking of the arava and subsequent banging on the floor atones for sins of speech. Alyssa, what do you think of that? Hoshana Rabbah, we take the Aravas. We don't take the Lulav. We don't take the Esrog. We don't take the Hadasim, which correspond respectively to the spine, the heart, and the eyes. But on this final day, what do you give a clap to? What represents your... Isn't that amazing? I never thought of this. And here I knew I was having Be'ezros Hashem Shmiras HaLashon class Monday morning. And on this final day, when the Din is sealed, symbolically, we take our mouth, which represents sins of speech, and we bang them on the floor, showing the Ribono Shel Olam that we're banging away our sins of speech. The aravos, which are symbolic of man's lips, think of the shape of the arava, like you just saw in the Medrash, atones for sins of speech. It has neither taste nor fragrance. It corresponds to those among Israel who possess neither Torah, neither mitzvos, nor maisim tovim. And we put aside the arba minim, and we only take the arava. And we say we possess neither the taste of Torah. We are all aravas on Hoshana Rabbah. We put aside the esrog. We put aside the lulav. We put aside the adasim. And we stand before God broken like an arava, bereft of Torah maisim tovim like an arava. But we use our koach of tefillah to daven extra on Hoshana Rabbah. So those aravas are so symbolic of the avoda of this time period, which is to rid our mouths of sins of Shmir Salashon, and to use our mouths to build worlds, which is going to segue into the next part of Shir, and to daven. And we say to Hashem, we are all the arava. We possess neither taste of Torah, no fragrance of misnos. We are not the esra. We are not the lulav. We are not the das. All we are is this arava. We possess a mouth with which we can pray. And David HaMelech writes Kitov, the exalted guest, the ushpiz of the seventh day of the festival, the sweet singer of Israel. Is he not the embodiment of using kolach hadibur, the lips, as symbolized by the arava, to symbolize the strength of prayer? Because the tehillim which he composed had become the wellspring of prayer for the whole world throughout the generation. So kol atzmosai tomarna, says David HaMelech himself, referring to the taking of the arba minim, but on Hoshana Rabbah, the final day when the din is sealed, we take the arava, which not only represents the Jew who is bereft of Torah and maisim tovim, but also represents the mouth of all of us. And we use that mouth to daven, and symbolically we bang away the sins of speech right before the judgment is sealed. I read something beautiful that I never considered, which I think relates to this insight, in a book called Welcome to Our Table by Ari Wasserman. Ari Wasserman's wife, Miriam, lives in Yerushalayim, and I thank her very, very much. She reached out to me online. She listens to the Shiurim online, and she asked if she could send me some of her husband's Sfarim. So she sent me 3 Sfarim of her husband. We have this comments from Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, Rav Herschel Schechter, Rabbi Zev Lef Shlita. So she sent me 3 of his Sfarim. So I read something so interesting, which I never considered before also, especially because I love focusing on Shorashim in Lashon HaKodesh. The word lulav, and I think that this relates beautifully to what we're talking about, is made up of 2 words, lo lev. And again, I never considered that. Really, what you're saying is when you take the Arba meaning, you're saying, Hashem, my whole self is dedicated to you. When I give you my heart, I'm giving you my entire self. How significant that it is the Arava, specifically on Hoshana Rabbah, which is the climax, if you will, of this whole period that began in Rosh Chodesh Elul, through the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, through Sukkos, and finally we take the Arava, which represents what? Our lips. Because ultimately we can either use our lips and become exalted through koach of tefillah, tehillim, praise, Torah, and otherwise we can take the lips and we can, Rachman son, bang them on the floor for sins of speech, and it is through the arava that the gezerah is sealed. I thought that was absolutely incredible. Obviously relates very, very much, very strongly to the topic of this shiur. So that's the introduction to shiur. I want to now go to a piece by Rav Soloveitchik. So Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal says, and it's on my screen so you can learn it with me. Actually, I guess I should start in Bereishis. So the pasuk says in Bereishis, could you see? Okay. Bereishis bar Elohim eis hashamayim v'eis haaretz. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was sohu vavohu, chaos and nothingness, v'choshech, and darkness over the surface of the deep. And only the spirit, the wind, the winds of God, if you will, was hovering over the surface of the water. Vayomer Elohim yihi or vayir. When God began to create, Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light. Vayir Elohim esar ki tov. God saw the light that it was good, and he separated or distinguished between the light and the darkness. And Elohim called the or yom, and to the choshech he called night. And it was evening, and it was morning, and it was one day. Now, going to second day of Bereishis, Vayomer Elohim, once again, God said, there should be a firmament between the waters to separate between the upper and the lower water. So what you can't help but notice is that the whole world was created, of course, through Koach HaDibra. I have to say, really, I know I said already, but I'm so grateful to Hashem the way the calendar worked out this year, because usually I do not get to have Shiurim, the week of Parshas Bereishis, so it's very exciting for me. You understand why? If Yom Tov ends like Wednesday or Thursday, or sometimes even Tuesday or Wednesday, then people are coming back. We don't start till the following Monday, which is when Parshas Noach. So I'm very grateful this year, and I'm always grateful for Azchus of sharing Torah with you, but that we can focus on Bereishis. And this year that I prepared is specifically very much related to Bereishis with Koach HaDibur. So we just saw the first psukim of Bereishis, and everything that Hashem created is related to Vayomer Elohim, Yehi Or, Yehi Raki, Yehi Me'oros, Berkiya Shemaim. Rav Soloveitchik says, so we talk about Hashem as the Borei Olam. He's now going to distinguish, Rav Soloveitchik, between a Borei is what we translate as creator, and a Yotzer, which we would translate as fashioner. Sometimes in English those words get mixed up, but they really mean 2 very, very different things. A Borei is not a Yotzer, and a Yotzer is not a Borei. So Rav Soloveitchik writes, a Borei, which we translate as creator, Bereishis bara, Bereishis, interesting. In the word Bereishis, you even have the word Bore. I never realized that before. That's cool. I almost never realized that before, until like this second. Wow, look at that. The first 3 letters of Torah spell the word Bore. Teaching you that Bereishis, the Borei, created. When we say the Borei Olam, we're really talking about the Borei Olam. The first 3 letters of the Torah Kedoshah spell Borei. Remember, the Torah does not have Nekudos, and Shivim Panam the Torah, and nothing is an accident. As we open off the Torah once again, we have to remind ourselves that nothing is an accident, and that is pretty amazing. That the first, I literally never realized till this moment, that the first 3 letters, you have to appreciate the divine, we can't even appreciate the divine nature of the Torah, the godless, the depths, the secrets, the worlds, the lives that are hidden within Torah. But here Hashem just gives us a teeny glimpse of something that I'm sure some of you listening may say, well, we knew that before and we all recognize it before. Okay, Michal Hertz never realized that like Lamaisa, that Bereshis begins with the word Bereshis is bara. Bereshis bara, there's the word bara. But the first three letters of Torah represent bara as well. So let's go back. So Rav Salvechik says, a bore is one who creates yesh me'ayin. What does it mean that God is a bore? Bereshis bara lakim, Bereshis beis resh aleph. The creator, in the beginning, created. So what does it mean to be a bore? So the definition of a bore is one who creates yesh me'ayin. What is yesh me'ayin? Something out of nothing. My kids, we have an adorable book. It's called Something from Nothing. Remember the Azeli, like they're mice in the shtetl. The little boy has a coat, and then there's a little... Does anyone have it? It's a beautiful kid's book. Let's say you're nodding yes, and then he makes a vest, and then he makes a tie, and then he makes a button. But the mice, the reality is that a bore... It's beautiful. If you don't have it, I recommend it. A bore is one who creates yesh me'ayin, something out of nothing. That's not the same as a yotzer. A yotzer, in contrast, fashions yesh me'yesh, something out of something. So when we make challah, when you make soup, when you make a cake, you are not a bore. You are not, you've not created that. You have fashioned out of flour and eggs and water and yeast and sugar and salt. You have fashioned challah. You're a yotzer. So this is very important. A bore creates yesh me'yesh, yesh me'ayin, like you just saw in the beginning of Bereshis, beis resh aleph. The first three letters indicate what you're about to read. The Briyas Ha'olam, Bodhi Borei Olam. A Yotzer fashions yesh me'yesh, something out of something else. Only God, and this is an important principle, can be a Borei. Only one Borei, and that is Hashem. Why? Because everything that I create comes from something. He, God, miraculously brought the world into being. Creation, ex nihilo, that means out of nothing. There was nothing, and then there was something. Man can never be a creator. No matter how great, how powerful, how all-encompassing man thinks that they are, man is never a creator. Man is only a yotzer. This is a fact. This is a fact. He must have material before he can fashion his product. No matter what you make, you have to have material before you fashion the product. The Ramban. Okay? This is Ramban to Bereshis 1:1. So we looked at the Pasuk Bereshis 1:1 together. And we already noted Beis Reish Aleph are the first three letters of the whole Torah HaKadosha. The Ramban describes the process of creation in the world as follows. 1 second. So it's a good question. Someone just asked me, is the creation of man a Borei or a Yotzer? So it's an interesting question because, I'll show you why it's an interesting question. Man was created in stages, okay? In Bereshis 1:27, Parak Aleph Pasuk of Zion, Vayivra Elokim Es Adam B'Tzalmo. B'Tzalmo Elokim Bara Oso. If you know two times, what do you have? This mimics the first pasuk in the Torah, Bereshis Bara Elokim, where you have two times the word the root Beis Reish Aleph. So here you have Vayivra Elokim Es Adam B'Tzalmo, B'Tzalmo Elokim Bara Oso. So the first time man was created in Bereshis 1:27, man is created out of nothing. The Torah tells you, Vayivra Elokim Es Adam B'Tzalmo, B'Tzalmo Elokim Bara Oso, Zachar Nekeva Bara Oso. Three times in this pasuk, you have the root word of Borei Beis Reish Aleph. Hashem fashions man out of nothing. However, this fashioning of man did not last. If you look at Rashi here, Rashi, we don't know exactly what this is. 1:27, it was one being with two faces or two sides. It's not a man-woman that we have access to or that we understand what it was. It was one being that was man-woman together. Hashem decided in his Ein Sof wisdom that this was not the appropriate form of humanity for this world. And this being did not continue. What, can you not see my screen? Okay, 1 second. Let me just get through this, please, piece before you post more, because it's hard for me to address the chat and answer the question. Okay? In 2:7, Vayitzer Hashem, it's a very good question. Okay? The person asked this is a very good question. I wasn't planning to bring it up just for a lack of time, because our time is limited. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es Adam Afar Min Adama. When Hashem goes back and creates man as a Yachid, Adam, this is before Isha's created, what root word is used? Vayitzer, that's not Vayivra. So on 1:27, it's Vayivra. Elokim es Adam B'Tzalmo, B'Tzalmo Elokim Bara Oso, Zachar Nekeva Bara Osam. But that Bria of Zachar and Nekeva together did not last. Hashem refashioned man as a Yachid from that creation, and that's why in 2:7 you have Vayitzer. When it comes to Isha in 2:22, it's a whole different Shorish. It's Vayivain, Gemara, being a Yisera, we're not getting into that. But it's a very good question. So the question is, was Hashem a bore? Did he vayivra man or vayitzer? The answer is both. First, Hashem made man yesh me'ayin, vayivra, 127, but then he went back and refashioned him in 2:7 to a distinct being. So, going back to Rav Soloveitchik, good question. Going back to Rav Soloveitchik, okay? Only God is a bore. Man is never a creator. Man is a fashioner. You have to have material before you fashion a product. The Ramban, to Bereshis 1:1, describes the process of creation very interestingly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara, you could see my screen, yes? My kids make fun of me. Sometimes they listen to Shir and Why You Tar, they're saying, Mommy, you always say, could you see my screen? Could you see my screen? That's because sometimes I've had instances where I'm teaching and after people tell me, they didn't even know they couldn't see my screen. So now I'm a little neurotic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, couldn't tell. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara kol hanivraim me'afisa muchlatas, from the word afas. Ayin, Aleph, Pei, Samech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, bara, all creations, kol nivraim, from absolute nothingness. Absolute nothingness, there was nothing. God said, let there be light. God said, let there be a firmament. God said, let there be, the water should gather in one place. God said, let there be animals and grass and herbage. And there was, and he created this world as we know it. Me'afisa muchlatas, from efes, absolute zero. There was nothing. Ve'ein etzleni b'lashon ha'kodesh, ba'otzeis hayesh mi'ayin ela lashon bara. We have no word in lashon ha'kodesh, in our language, to describe the taking of something from nothing, the making of something from nothing, about the word borei. So bara, borei, first three letters of the Torah, indicate that this whole world was created, yesh, it's now something, me'ayin, from nothing. Ve'ein kol hanasa tachas ha'shemesh olamala, and nothing that has been done, that has been produced by God, whether under the sun or above the sun, hove min ha'ayin hatchala rishona. He's now going to explain a difficult concept that's beyond really the scope of the shiur and our time. And oh my gosh, no more questions on the chat unless something that I say is not clear, even though generally I really appreciate your questions and comments, but not today, please, because I need to get through a main material, and you're probably wondering why I'm teaching this in Shmiras HaLashon class. Okay, everything that we have under the sun and above the sun came from nothing at the... Nothing, whatever exists today, under and above the sun, was not made from nothing at the outset. What does that mean? It was not made from nothing at the outset. Aval hotzi min ha'efes ha'gamur ha'muchlat yisod dakmo. The Ramban says, how did Hashem create this world? Definitely don't ask me questions. You have to know that my Bereishis is beyond our comprehension. According to the Ramban, from this absolute efes, from absolute gamur muchlat efes, Hashem made a thin foundation. Hashem made a thin foundation, which doesn't have substance, but it is the power for things to come forth. He made some sort of koach, some sort of substance that is able to cause creations and shapes and fashioning to come from that potential into the actual. So Hashem created, he's going to give it a name in 1 second. It's right here. Hashem created, v'hu hachomer rishon. Hashem created this first substance, this first material. From this first substance and this first material, everything else was created. Nikra l'yivanim, it is called by the Greeks, hili. Okay, Rav Soloveitchik writes it as H-Y-L-E, highly. Highly, perhaps, okay? So, you see, Rav Soloveitchik writes it, it's called H-Y-L-E, which means matter. The Ramban says, listen carefully. Hashem created a thin layer, yisod dak ma'od, some sort of very thin foundation out of absolute nothingness. From this very thin foundation, which he created from absolute nothingness, you have the potential for everything to sprout, everything to grow, everything to be fashioned from this foundation. After Hashem created Bereishis Bara Elokim Esa Shemayim VeEsa Haaretz, after Hashem created this matter, H-Y-L-E in English, He Yud Vav Lamed Yud, according to the Ramban, which is the Greek for matter, he didn't create, he fashioned everything from that matter. Ki mimenu humtzi hakol, from that matter, that foundational matter that God created from nothing, he took everything out. And he dressed the forms, and he fixed them and he brought them into being. So the Ramban is saying, what did God create? Thin matter. From that matter, everything sprouted. Vida ki yashamayim v'chal shabahem chomer echad. Everything comes from this one matter, this one substance, whether it's in the heavens, whether it's in the earth, everything comes from this matter. Kosh Baruch Hu bara elu shnehim me'ayin. Kosh Baruch Hu created from nothing the heavens and the earth. V'shneim levadam nivra'im. These two things were absolutely created, the heavens, the earth, but everything comes from this thin matter. V'chomer, then he repeats it, this matter, shakarui hi highly, which is called H-Y-L-E, matter, nikra b'lashon ha'kodesh tohu. It's called, in our language, tohu. So on the pasuk says, in Bereishis 1:1, v'aretz ha'isa tohu. Ramban is saying that tohu is the first creation. The first yesod, from that Hashem created everything. I see that there are some comments. I don't have time to address them. I'm sorry. I try my best. Today I don't. Okay? We have no expression. Oh, we read that right. Rav Salvechik says, when a potter shapes a vase out of clay, he is not really creating. He is fashioning. He is giving form to amorphous clay, which existed before he started his work. He may be a gifted craftsman, but you cannot exceed the potentials in the clay. You can only work with the clay. It might be beautiful. It might not compare to what a child in kindergarten makes, to what a potter who's an artist makes, but you can't go beyond the clay. The size of the vase cannot be larger than the clay. The artistic pattern will be affected by the raw material. All these external conditions limit the craftsman's options, just like you make challah. If you're in a high altitude, if it's very humid, if the yeast didn't proof, you can't go beyond the raw material that you have. That's because you're a yotzer. Moreover, there need not be any continuing relationship between the potter and his vase. When the potter finishes the vase, he could give it away, he could sell it. Not so the Ribono Shel Olam. A yotzer fashions something from something. And when he's finishing fastening something, so I could give it to you as a present. I could say, look at the vase I made, and now I give it to you. It's not mine. But not so the Ribono Shel Olam. The Ribono Shel Olam is a bore. He created ex nihilo out of absolute nothing. And he continues to sustain the world that he created out of absolute nothing. Before he created the world, there was only God and nothing else. God is not a human artisan who can only produce from raw materials. The word ayin, Salvechik points out, is in Yeshman, is somewhat misleading. There's really no emptiness before creation. There is really only a Yesh God. Okay? So Salvechik says, we say Yesh Me'ayin because we have no words in our language to describe that before there was Hashem and now there was a world. But really Hashem created Yesh Me'yesh, Yesh from himself. There was Hashem and now there was a world. We use the word ayin because there's no other way of conveying the idea that there was no pre-existent primordial matter before creation. So this is an important principle. We have looked at the Ramban. It's very deep. It's perhaps something, if you're not familiar with this Ramban, it's a little bit novel and a new way of looking at creation. Hashem created what we call tohu in Lashon HaKodesh. V'aretz ha'isa tohu v'vohu. That tohu is the first act of God's creation. Some thin foundational layer, which the Greeks call, I'm probably pronouncing wrong, so I'm hesitant to keep saying it, Haile Hiloi, okay? H-Y-L-E or Hey Yud Vav Lamed Yud. You could all look up the Ramban to Bereishis 1:1. From that Healy thin layer, which we call Tohu, all of creation came into being. Only God is a Bore, Yesh Me'ayin, man is a Yotzer. A Bore, who is God, continues to uphold and be connected to his creation. Man is a Yotzer, and after I bake a challah and I give it to someone else, it's not mine anymore. You could do with it whatever you want. After I fashioned it, it's not mine. Okay? We already saw, I'm not going back to Bereishis, because we already saw Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or, Vayihi Or, Vayar Elokim Esar Kita, Vayavda Elokim Ben Or Ben Echoshech. Hashem created through Koach HaDibur. This is a statement, a fact. I said I'm not going back, now I went back. Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or, Vayomer Elokim Yihi Rekia. Vayomer Elokim Yikavu Mayim Mitachas Shemayim Emakam Echa. The water should gather into one place. And Vayomer Elokim Tadjeh Arz Dasha Esav Mazriya Zera. Vayomer Elokim Yihimros Berkia Shemayim. Vayomer Elokim Yishutzu Amayim Sharetz Nefesh Chaya. Every day of creation is created with Koach HaDibur. God is a bore who created this world through speech. Man is a yotzer who fashions. The pasuk says in Amos, Perek Dalet, pasuk Yud Gimel, Ki hine yotzer harim, God forms the mountains, ubore ruach, and creates the wind, umagid lo adam masecho. Siach is a form of speech, and he tells man what is his conversation. God fashions the mountains, creates the winds, and tells man what is his speech. So Rav Elimelech Biderman teaches, it is written, Yotzer harim uvorei ruach, Hashem fashions the mountains and creates wind, umagid la'adam ma'secho. So here we talk about Hashem being a yotzer and a borei, because God is both, as we saw vis-a-vis man. First man was mavriya asa adam, 1:27, and then Hashem was yotzer asa adam, 2:7. So God is both a borei and a yotzer. And then what does this mean? Umagid la'adam ma'secho. Hashem tells man what is his speech. So Rav Elimelech Biderman says, Rav Yisrael Vrujin, Zechusa Yagen Egaleinu, explained, a person should not say, can my words accomplish anything? My words are like wind. You say a word, it's like the wind. It's a breath. It's here and it's gone. I know I'm the one talking, but I'm trying to envision that I have these puffs of air coming out of my mouth. They're here and now they're gone. So a person should not say, says Rav Biderman, quoting Rav Yisrael Vrujin Zatzal, how can my words accomplish anything? They're only words, only wind. No. The answer is this pasuk from Amos. Hashem created mighty mountains. He is the Yotzer Harim. But the wind is stronger. He is the Borei Ruach. And related to the Ruach, Umagid La'adam Ma'asecho, he tells man what is his speech. Winds can destroy mountains. Magid La'adam Ma'asecho, winds can destroy mountains. What is the nimshal? This reveals to people the power of speech and tefillah. Magid la'adam ma'secho. Hashem says, it's true that I've created mountains, but you should know the power of your speech to create and to destroy. Winds can destroy mountains. Winds can cause growth. Man's breath is like the wind. And this reveals to us, says Rabbi Biderman, you see right here on my screen, the power of speech and tefillah, which are as powerful as the winds created by Hashem. And the Chofetz Chaim tells us, Alyssa, this is from our Sefer, Perek Beis, which we learned a very long time ago, because if I'm not mistaken, we are up to Perek Yodalad, okay? Perek Beis, which means we learned this years ago. This is the Chofetz Chaim in our Sefer. Okay. In Perek Beis, the Chofetz Chaim teaches, U'bishas hadin, and at the time of the ultimate judgment, meaning in the Olam Ha'emes, on Me'ev Asum Shana, Yatsuyu lefanav kol hadiburim shadiber. They will play back before him. That's terrifying. All the words that he spoke. Kimo she'amru chazal ala pasuk. Like the sages say on the pasuk from Amos that we just looked at, ki hine yotzer harim uvorei ruach umagid la'adam ma'asecho. God is the fashioner of mountains and the creator of the winds, but he tells man, look at your speech. So God said, I may fashion mountains and I may create winds, but don't forget about your koach hadibur. And what does the Gemara say? Afilu sicha kala shebein ish li'ishto magidin lo la'adam b'shas adin. As I'll expound, this is all quoted by the Chofetz Chaim. It's on page 40 of your Sefer, back in Perek Beis, almost 10 prakim ago, which means this was years ago when we learned this, that even light banter, light speech between a man and his wife we are going to be accountable for this at the time of Din. And then Olam HaEmes, after 120 years, Magid La'adam Ma'asecho, Hashem says, you know what? Your words are like wind, and just like wind can destroy mountains, your words are very powerful, and therefore the Chofetz Chaim also quotes this pasuk in his sefer, telling us, as quoting Chazal, that we are accountable for every single wind, puff of air, word that came out of our mouth, even light speech between man and woman. It is very famous. I don't think I quoted for a while, but since I brought up the pasuk before, here it is again. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam afar min Adama. This is when Adam was created yichidi. Not man, woman, but in 2:7, God refashioned from that form that he first created, which we don't know what it was, because we have no association with one being that's man, woman together. But Hashem fashioned the man, dust from the earth. He blew into his nostrils the soul of life. And the moment Adam was created as a yachid, okay, 1:27, that creation did not last. Along comes Hashem in 2:7, and he refashions Vayitzer from that first Bria, man as a Yachid, Vayi Adam l'nefesh chaya. So this is very famous, and I've definitely quoted it before, excuse me, for sure in this class. Man became a nefesh chaya, a living spirit. Targum Unklus famously says, or I should say interprets, not says. Unklus is not just a translation, it's an interpretation of Chumash. So Unklus says, and Hashem Elohim created man dust from the earth, and he blew into him the neshama of life. V'havas ba'adam l'ruach memalala. Very famous Unklus. Man became, what does Unklus say? The moment of man's creation, what did Adam become? A speaking spirit, a medaber. Speaking spirit. Now, we had no one to talk to yet, but once him and Isha had something to talk about and were able to talk, she spoke to the Nechash, and they got into big trouble. But Reluach Memalala, what distinguishes man from beast, is that man is a medaber, a speaking spirit. Kosh Baruch Hu created the world through speech, by Yom Elokim, we saw. And through speech, man emulates God and creates. And so I'm proposing to you a lot of food for thought. Compelling argument based on Ashir today. What emerges is that the only thing that man can create is speech. Everything we make is a yitzira. Everything. Even when a man and a woman and God create new life, create a baby, they're not creating yesh me'ayin. There are two very small cells that contribute to the creation of that fetus. They're not creating from nothing. The only thing that man creates from nothing is his words. They weren't here. You have the capability to create them, but you just created a new being. We have an imperative to emulate the Ribbon Shalom, Sota 14a and Shabbos Kuflamid Gema Amabes. And if we have an imperative to emulate God, God creates through speech, Umagid Adam Masecho, a man also creates through speech. And the Chavetz Chaim says, and this is on page 26, in his Psicha, in his introduction to our Sefer, Klal Hadvarim, look what the Chavetz Chaim says, B'diburov shal Adam Yachal Livra Olamos Ulahacharivam. Look what the Chavetz Chaim says. There's one area in which man can be a borei. The Chavetz Chaim writes Beferish in this Sefer, in the Psicha, in an introduction. The summation of the matter is, with words, with man's words, he can create worlds. Now, when you think of the term Bore Olam, you usually think of only one Bore Olam, and what emerged in Shir today, it was new at least for me, is that in the word Bereshis, the first three letters of Torah are the word Bara. And when I think of the Bore Olam, there's only one Bore Olam, but the Chavetz Chaim says, no, you too can be a Bore Olam. How can I be a Bore Olam? I thought we spent all year proving I could only be a Yotzer. We saw the Ramban, we saw Rav Soloveitchik, but then we moved into Amos. Then we saw Rav Elimelech Biderman on the Pasuk from Amos, and the Chofetz Chaim, our Chofetz Chaim from the Sefer, and now it's not so clear. Maybe man can be a Bore. How could I be a Bore? If you build something from Lego, you use small pieces to put it together. If you bake something, you use ingredients. If you create a child, there is a sperm and an egg. That's not something from nothing. I thought only God could create something from nothing. Not exactly. It's not true that we are only a Yotzer. There's one area in life where you are a Borei. What is it? Speech. Because God created the world through Koach HaDibur, so to speak, Hashem didn't need to create each day through speech. Hashem could have just created the whole world. But Hashem is the Malamei Torah L'Amo Yisrael. Hashem is teaching us that through words, you can create worlds, and through words you can destroy worlds. That's not my quote. This is Chavetz Chaim. We could look up in the Sefer on page 26 in the Psicha. Klal Hadvarim, the summation of the matter is. Could you imagine? He just started teaching us. He's in the Psicha, and he says, "You should know the summation of the whole matter is." B'diburav she'adam yachal livro olamot. With words, man can emulate God and create worlds, and with words, man can be a machriv. Man can destroy. A man can create. How? I thought I'm a Yotzer. No. You could emulate God. And perhaps this is why. We don't know why. I shouldn't have said that. This is one of the things Hashem wants to teach us through creating the world through word. Hashem is a Malamei Torah L'Amei Yisrael. We already quoted the two places in the Gemara that I know of. Of course, there could be more that I am not familiar with. Where we have to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam v'halach the bedrachav. So that means I too have to be a Borei Olam, but I can only be a Yotzer. No. When it comes to speech, I can be a creator or a destroyer. And that's a frightening thought. It's a frightening, disturbing, empowering, awesome responsibility. You can create a world through words. I shouldn't say you, me. And I can destroy a world through words. Through words. Isn't it amazing that of all the Arba Minim on Hoshana Rabbah, when the judgment is sealed, if you missed the beginning of the shir, please make sure to catch on YU Torah, so you know what I'm talking about. Isn't it amazing that on Hoshana Rabbah, when the judgment is sealed, which of the Arba Minim do we take? Not what corresponds to the spine, not what corresponds to the heart, not what corresponds to the eyes, but what corresponds to the lips. Of Salvechik, that's how it teaches. Judaism believes words per se are the most powerful weapon God has provided man. Let's repeat that sentence. Judaism believes that words per se are the most powerful weapon God has provided man. Judaism believes in the power of the mind and the majesty of the word. Excuse me. Word has tremendous potential. Can be majestic, can be used for tefillah, ma'isim tovim, tehillim. I mean, it's abused, we bang it on the floor to show that Hashem, we are like this arava. Help us do teshuvah, help us say the right words, erase the sins of speech. Through the word, God created the world. I'm quoting with Salvechik, God did not need words to create the world. He could have just created the world. But he chose the word as the instrument of creation. Imagine that. Dibur Amira is the instrument of creation. Why? In order to teach us that we can create the world through the world. And we can destroy the world through the word. This is very powerful. This is exactly what the Chofetz Chaim says. So if somebody asks you, are you a Borei or a Yotzer? So you're a Yotzer. We're only a Yotzer with one exception. There's one caveat to the rule. In general, man is a Yotzer, except when it comes to words. The words that you have just created by combining the thoughts of your mind, the emotions of your heart, the palate, the teeth, the tongue, the lips, that's a new creation. God gives you the capability, but you choose, I choose, whether to create or to destroy. Through word, we can create a world. So you can really be a Borei. And through word, you can destroy a world. The word can be the most creative power in man's hands. The word can also be the most destructive power given to man. These are very strong statements. Hashem chose the word as the instrument of the creation to teach us. The word is the most creative power in man's hands, and it is also the most destructive power given to man. You know, you think nuclear weapons are the most destructive power. A gun could be destructive, although they knew. A knife could be destructive. You know what's the most destructive power given to man, says of Salvechik? Speech. When you think, Rahman al-Tzlan. What Hitler was able to accomplish, Yimach Shmo v'Zichro. And when you look at his video clips of his fiery speeches, he was one of the most powerful orators. He whipped the crowds into a frenzy through the koach of his dibur. You see the hysteria and the mass adoration that the masses had. He was known to be a very powerful orator. This is why, says Rav Salvechik, now that we have first established that you're really only a Yotzer, and then we proved that you're really a Borei, that is why Judaism is almost merciless with regard to Lashon Hara. Judaism, the halachas of our Torah, we are almost merciless with regard to Lashon Hara, which we've been going through in Maseches Arachin. Evil speech. And why it takes so seriously the issue of perjury, vows, oaths. It's so interesting. You know, we end the final sealing on Hoshana Rabbah with the Aravos. And the day of sealing is Yom Kippur, which begins with Kol Nidre. So look at that. The day where it is stamped and sealed, Yom Kippur, we begin with Kol Nidre, Vesarei, Shavuei. We talk about the oath that we have taken, the words that we may not have kept. And Hoshana Rabbah, what do? We take our lips, the Hoshanos, the Aravos, and you bang it on the floor. In Judaism, The word is the mark of one's identity as a human being. In contradistinction to a beast or a brute, in medieval Hebrew, the name for man is medaber, speaker, because Judaism believes in the potency of the word. It's not just a sound. Animals emit sounds. Dogs bark, cats meow. We went last week of one of our Chol Moed trips. My first cousin organized and invited us to an outdoor, socially distanced, masked petting zoo in their yard. It was wonderful, Baruch Hashem. And there was a duck and a chicken. There was all different kinds of petting zoo animals. And you could hear the duck quacking. And I thought it was so cool. You say quack, quack. But I said to the kids, listen, listen. And it was amazing. But animals make sounds. It's not just phonetics, your speech. Your words have a mystical quality. Why? Because they're godly. Vayipach ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim, Bereishis 2:7. He blew into his nostrils the soul of life. Vayidam l'nefesh chayach. So if God blew into your nostrils the soul of life, look at the pasuk again, God fashioned man, dust from the earth. When he blew into his nostrils the soul of life, your neshama zachelek alokai mima, like the pasuk says in Iyov. So if your neshama comes from Hashem, and the minute God gave you a part of himself, and now you became a nefesh chayah, of course you are a medaber, because Hashem created the whole world through word. The moment he creates man and gives man a part of himself, kaviyachal, man becomes godly. And what distinguishes us from all other life forms, from all other yotzrim? The power to be a boy. And think about that when you speak. I should think about that when I speak. I should think about that when I speak. You can be a boy. You can be a boy olam. Or you can be a machruv olam. Let's just finish with Salvechik. Hence, man's awareness of God must be objectified in the word. And we come to God with our Torah and with our tefillah. Like we say in the Siddur, V'kulam poschim es piyam, be'kedusha, v'tahara, b'shiru, v'zimra, m'varchim, b'shabchim, v'farim. So we declare the kingship of God through the word, because it is through the word that the world was created. It is through the word we quote both Rav Eliezer Melech Biderman and the Chofetz Chaim, who quotes the Gemara on that pasuk. That your words are like wind. You might not be able to see them, but you can cause tremendous damage the minute that wind emanates from your mouth. And the question is, what do we choose to do with the power of Borei? You can mamash emulate the Ribono Shel Olam, Bereishis bara Elokim Yesh Shamayim Ve'Haaretz, for everything else in life, everything. From soup to challah to pottery to the creation of a child. You're just a fashioner. You're using the material that God gave you. When it comes to Koach HaDibur, you too can be a Borei Olam. Or us too, God forbid, can be a Machuv Olam. So Hashem created with words to teach us. I think as we begin Tafshin Pei Aleph, our new year of learning Shemir Salashan, it's important thoughts to keep in mind as the foundation to everything that we study here together. We have a choice with every word that we say. This shir should be ischus aliyah neshama for tzvi gershom ben yov v'chana alav Hashem. May his neshama have a continuous aliyah to bring the shir a lot of ischusim and continued simchas and only nachas to Lisa Axron and her whole family. I thank you for learning with me. I wish you a wonderful, productive day of besuros tovos. And again, Shabbos for Parshas Bereishis, Be'ezras Hashem. Thank you so much, everybody.